Ready? Okay, we have a quorum. It is 4:02, and I'd like to bring the January 6 Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting to order. Oh, did I
January.
say 6 or is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's an 8. Sorry, I knew I would mess up on that. Okay, so let's do item 1 for roll call. So we have Fred Ariza,
Here.
Margo Garcia,
Here.
Hallie Hughes,
Here.
Doug Jennings,
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
and our new member, Polly Parks from Ward 5.
Welcome.
Okay, welcome.
I'm here.
Hello, Polly. Hi.
And let me interrupt, Chris, just so you know, she did complete the loyalty oath, so welcome, Polly.
Oh, good. That's okay. Yeah, I saw that you had to hustle over to Brittany. So, yeah, good, good. I'm glad you made the meeting. Susanna Shippers is, looks like she's absent. Ryan Thomas
Here.
and Chris Yarder here. All right. We've got a good group today. Did Polly, did you want to just say a few words about why you'd like to be on ESAC and what your
Sure.
background is?
I've been living here in Tucson for 5 years, and been fairly active in my Santa Rita neighborhood. And so we have some issues. And but my background is I spent, I guess, 30 years working as a military environmental consultant. Okay.
All right.
Starting out in non-governmental work and then moving over to just being a consultant. And so I worked a lot with a lot of the issues that this committee works with. And so when I observed the meeting the last time, I thought, okay, I think I'll be able to contribute something.
Well, great. And it's nice to have someone from Ward 5 because we haven't for a while.
Getting
So
more activated work.
yeah, that I'm glad. I'm just gonna have to write a few others and see if they can find someone that wants to be on ESAC. So and for item 2, chairperson's report, I really don't have one except to say Happy New Year to everybody. And it looks like Carlos is gonna keep us busy. At least the beginning of the year, right? Okay. All right. Let's move on to item 3, the director's report. And you're going to be presenting the Environmental Services Fund financial overview and cost of service.
Thank you. So, just wanted to give you an overview and an update on where we're at so far. I know we presented to you, to the Finance Committee and to full ESAC, really the recommended cost of service structure that has been in preparation for the last month or so. Brittany, we just received the latest and greatest information as of, I believe, day before yesterday or yesterday. And so, where we at right now is we made a presentation to the city manager's office several weeks ago. We did have a follow-up meeting just before the holidays to go over with them the findings, your recommendations. And so since then, they gave us additional instructions, additional direction. And this is really what it results in terms of really the modification or the updated cost of service or rate study memo, which we all forwarded you a copy of it. And so, in summary, it really just per your feedback and recommendation was in line really what we heard from some of the council members, in line what we heard from the city manager's office, is really looking at really developing really what the overall cost recovery structure needs to look like to for us to move forward with with the provision of the current services. And so that's what you see pretty much in table one. If you have it handy, it just shows the overall revenue requirement in terms of the amount of dollars that are needed each particular year. If you look at page two, it really lists all the services that essentially that we are trying to cover for. And two, table two, if I'm going too fast, let me know. In table two, it really just shows really what if we don't make no adjustments, no rate adjustments, where the fund would end up being over the years if we continue to expend the dollars that we're expending, continue to keep the revenue we're spending. And they just make a projection that if we don't make no adjustments whatsoever in year four, by 2030, this fund will be in the hole to the tune of $74 million. So certainly the intent is not really to put us in that predicament. So we certainly need to make some modifications and what we're really recommending is really just doing some rate increases. So the change that from what we talked about last time, and I know we mentioned it and it would really become to be part of your recommendation was if some of those services could be absorbed through a separate fee, and that's what you see on the top of page three, what we call the Clean Cities fee. And not really, and the intent of that is really trying to recover revenue to offset some of those services like graffiti abatement, the homeless camp cleanup, the illegal dumping program, the teaming up to clean up, and the homeless work program. Really trying to be able to develop revenue, generate revenue to cover for those expenses separate from, because one of the scenarios could be is in order for us to recover those costs, one way is we could continue to build up or increase our environmental service fee. But based on your feedback is, can we come up with a separate fee that really identifies what those costs are and what the fee should look like? So if you look at table four, it really just denotes if we wanted to cover those expenses through a separate fee that still will be charged in the environmental service fee structure, but it will be separate and it will be accounted for it separately. And so the findings or the recommendations, if we were to absorb those programs, you look at it as it's really, if you go up a little bit more, Brittany, it the calculator or down, I'm sorry. Then the calculator rate that would be looking at is around $3.43. So that will be essentially would be billed to every city customer, residential or commercial customers on a monthly basis. So there's two things that I wanted to point out in there in terms of why the difference of the fee given the current structure. So the first one, graffiti abatement, that is funded right now to the tune of about close to $900,000 out of the general fund. So what this is basically saying is that the general fund would no longer be absorbing graffiti abatement. That the fiscal responsibility would be shifted over to environmental services. And essentially we would fund that program out of this Clean Cities fee.
Carlos, that means then that the illegal dumping will not be going to DTM.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Because that was a quick change because I had had to report something to DTM because code enforcement passed it to them, and so now you guys we have it. ESAC has it.
So the distinction of that, and a lot of times it to your point, it gets sometimes confused, and we don't want for the public to get confused and really be sent to different departments. So this intent is really for us to any legal, I would say, dumping, we would handle all those requests. I think we still maybe split some hairs in terms of we're not really equipped really to be working in the middle of the medians, middle of intersections. So that may be a little bit tricky. We still don't want to say we're going to do away with the neighborhood preservation ordinance that you are responsible to take care of your alley, your street. But this is really blatant. I would say somebody just drops a couch in the middle of the street, the sidewalk. We go out there and pick it up. There's a collision. Everybody leaves essentially the stuff laying around. We'll go out there and pick it up, but we'll do it in such a way that addressing those illegal dumping sites, but with the team up to clean up effort, it's really adding more additional resources in the way it's, because right now the program costs us about $200,000. So in this is really the volunteer program. What we're trying to do, what we've been asked to do, is can we ramp up that effort and really create more of a proactive cleanup program citywide? And that's what this does. And so it really equates to equivalent about two brush and bulky crews. Pretty much is very similar nature to what we did before in the brush and bulky plus, but this is really establishing regular cleanup efforts throughout the city in specific right of ways. So we're trying to come up with what that program will look like, but it really would be more of a proactive cleanup program citywide, where we would essentially be dealing with illegal dumping, excessive weeds in the right of way, excessive litter in the right of way, and really trying to be able to support neighborhoods in their cleanup efforts as well. So it really becomes to be a comprehensive program. The other thing is on graffiti, is I pointed out we spend about $800,000 a year, depending on the number of work orders. We're asking really to add additional allocation of dollars, because every year we roughly spend about $1 million overall on graffiti. So the intent is, if we're right now we're doing 20,000 work orders a year, maybe we want to be in a position that we want to be more proactive and address those issues. Maybe we do 25, 30,000 work orders, and not really so much constrained in terms from a budget perspective to be able to abate those. So those are the things that again, the programs that will be funded out of this Clean Cities fee, and again, is really trying to develop the funds and the programs necessary to address on a proactive matter the essentially the overall cleanup of the city. So right now, as you know, those expenses are incurred in the cur are being absorbed out of the Environmental Services Fund, which we have absorbed, but it really has created an opportunity cost that we're not buying the equipment, we're not buying the things, we're not setting aside the reserves, we're not planning aside for the things that need to be covered to provide the essential basic services. And so over the years, we absorb all these programs, but it has really inhibited our ability really just to continue to stay on track with the regular programs that we have ongoing. So that's what that feed the difference of what we were a few weeks before. Again, looking at the feedback on should we add it to the environmental service fee? Should we keep it separate? So this does keep it separate. It identifies what programs should it fund, what the calculated amount of that fund that fee should look like. And so that's what essentially the results of this more amended recommendation. So if you scroll down, Brittany, please, then in there you will also see table five, which really shows really where the current proposed residential rates are. And so the intent of that is really just to look at where do we make, we still need to make some adjustments to keep the operations going in a much financial better way. And so if you look at the price, most of our accounts rely are encompass of the 95-gallon container. So the current charge for that is $23. And so the proposal would be that we would be increasing that service fee initial for basically 75 cents for the next 4 years. So the proposal would be in fiscal year 27 to for the rate to go from 23 to 23.75. The following year, fiscal year 28, an additional 75 cents, and then additional 75 cents for the following years. So that's really the recommendation. We also heard from you in terms of really having a distinct fee structure between the 48, the 65, and the 95 gallon. I think this is intended to get us to that level, but not like right away. Over the 5 year period, you have really almost a differential rate between the 48 gallon and the 95 gallon to the tune of about 17%. So the way we would accomplish that, it would be we would keep the 48 gallon charge flat at the same rate as currently it is today. And then the 65 gallon would be the same charge of what it is today, 22.25, and carry that for the next 4 years. So no increases for those two containers, only for the 95 gallon container would be there. So as I mentioned before, is if we do more of a drastic differential, then the 95 gallon over time over recovers significantly, that we're essentially are making a lot more money than we need. And so that's what we want to kept it low. If we also reduce that fee, the 45 or the 65, that gap, I'm not saying the risk is, but there could be the potential that folks may want to essentially migrate to those smaller cans, which would then resolve the need to buy additional cans. And then the loss of revenue for that would really offset what we're trying to do here in terms of the rate adjustment. So it would be, for example, if we were, if only I would say, and this is really just a very hypothetical scenario, okay? So if let's say, for instance, 10% of our 95 gallon container folks wanted to go and transition to a smaller can, a 65 gallon can, that's roughly equates to about 11,000 customers. Just in loss of revenue is about $330,000. But on year one, the cost really to buy those additional containers would be about $1.3 million. So whatever we're coming up in terms of revenue, that year would essentially would offset that increase. So that's really our recommendation. We coincide with what's being recommended in the report. Moving forward, again, in line to what you suggested, or you recommended for us to do. I don't know if there's any questions so far, any thoughts, any comments?
Anyone want to jump in? Okay.
I do have a
Okay.
question. If you increase the rates on the 95 gallon, but you keep them steady for the 48 and the 65, don't you think people will migrate down to the smaller ones?
That is a potential. Yes, that could be the potential, but over time, and I think that's what we're gradually, I would say, increasing that if that were to happen, it would not happen immediately. It would happen over time. Brittany, if you don't mind, just going down a little bit, please, on the table seven. So table seven just gives you an overview of, there's big tables on the background that really just outline the charges for commercial services based on number of pickups per week, your type of dumpster. So what one of the things that we're suggesting is, or is being recommended, is really doing a good increase, a significant increase in year one for commercial services to the tune of about 25%. Reason being, as you recall, those rates have not been adjusted in about 3 years. And so every year, typically commercial accounts go up about 10%. So this is really trying to get us to where we need to be at, and really maintaining that structure as we move along for years 3, 4, 2, 3, and 4. If you scroll down a little bit more, one of the other things that we're suggesting is really looking at doing away with the huge discount. If you are a city customer and you have a commercial account, we give you a discount for having recycling services, and then on top of that is a really a reduced rate for having recycling services. So our recommendation is really from just purely the basic cost of service. There is no difference between whether we call a residential roll-off or a commercial front load. It's the same cost. And the rate really to recover those recyclables, it's less, but from a commercial perspective, service perspective, it's still going to be will be the same cost, and so we're transferring that cost as well. And then lastly, is looking at table nine, would be bottom of the page is really proposal to increase your landfill tipping fee for self-haulers. I'm as a homeowner, I'm cleaning my yard. Right now I'm getting charged $15. That rate has been in place for over 15 years. Let's get in looking at recommendation to increase that for $3 in a dollar in issue in fiscal year 27 and a dollar pretty much a year for the next 4 years. And then very similar in nature, increasing the landfill tipping fee from the current rate of $35 to $38, and another $3 in fiscal year 28 and a dollar 50 the following 2 years. So those are the recommended rate adjustments. So if we were to implement those rates in the as-is condition, again, combining the Clean Cities fee and then the 75 cents adjustments, the commercial adjustments, and the landfill adjustments would essentially would put us in the black in year two. So year one, we would still have a shortfall, projected shortfall in fiscal year 27 to the tune of a $1.4 million. And then over the years, we would be over recovering. That sounds very good in terms of our recovery, but our environmental liabilities are much greater than those accumulation of dollars. So it would help us put more dollars in to offset our environmental liabilities, and that's where we think we can gain some ground. So that's the difference between what you saw a few weeks ago, what we saw here today. So what are from what we gather, what are the next steps? We have another follow-up meeting with the city manager's office on Monday to go over this final memo. I'm hoping that we would get some final direction and say, yep, I think we're good to go. Then we would hopefully bring that back to you just for final review and ratification and a possible recommendation from you. So that way, based on that, we can start having debriefings with the council, getting some additional feedback, and really putting forth a recommended a possible potential rate adjustment a notice of intent probably the first part of March. So that way it could become effective July 1st of fiscal year 27.
So you don't really know exactly when this is going to go to mayor and council meeting.
My if I was to say exactly a date, maybe it would be the either the first meeting in I would say the first meeting in March.
Well,
So
good.
we would have to prepare some documents, official documents, by 6 weeks before that. Maybe as it relates to your recommendation, it would be once we get some feedback from the manager's office, and again bring it back to you. I'm hoping that maybe either A, we schedule a meeting, a special meeting just to review, discuss, and really just get a final recommendation from you. I'm hoping that that could be done before the end of the month, if not the early part of March. So that way, when we schedule those briefings with the council, we can say, this was the essentially the recommendation study from the consultant. This is where the Environmental Service Advisory Board recommendation. Here's our 2 cents. Then obviously then that will be provided to them and on the briefings and then we would essentially be in a position to post that notice of intent to increase fees. Whether it's in the first meeting in March or the second meeting in March, but at the latest, I believe, at the latest, it has to be done in the first meeting in March.
Think I have a listing of their schedule. So anybody have any questions on this?
I just wanted to say I really like this version, a lot better than the last one that we discussed. And thank you for taking some of our concerns into account, especially related to the different charges related to the different bin sizes. I understand that, the bin itself is the cost driver, but I think that this really gets at some of the other goals that the city has in terms of reducing solid waste. And so I just wanted to say thank you for taking that feedback and coming back with something.
Thank you.
And it's nice that we're going to have another meeting and everything. I don't know about everyone else, but I was sort of panicking when we had our first meetings and we thought we had to meet with mayor and council in January, you know. So this will give us time to digest and really try, you know, I hope everybody will comment and put your two cents in, and then I can just write up a letter to mayor and council and tell them what we want and what we like. So,
Thank you.
yep, perfect. Any more questions for Carlos on this? Now, I will say that I did panic when I saw this whole thing come across. I'm glad you pointed out the important parts. That's what we really needed. That's what I needed. So, okay, now what did I do with that? So, what's up next? Let's see. There we go. And are you're gonna go over the Murph report, right?
I wasn't planning to
Or
go into over the
okay.
report because I don't have it in front of me. I wanted to just provide you a quick update on where we were on the solicitation for the recycling services for
Okay.
the materials recovering facility. So we had a mandatory pre-proposal meeting on December 17th. We had over 10 people attend from various companies, equipment manufacturers and representatives, but I think it really is going to boil down to roughly three potential firms that would be that could potentially submit a bid proposal for these services. And the companies are Republic Services, Balcones, which is now called the Closed Loop Partners. And Friedman Recycling. So those are the three firms that showed interest in terms of participating and really submitting a bid. I'm not saying that all three of them will submit. We did make it made a mandatory meeting just to make sure that we had a good a participation of folks, but and we also knew who were we dealing with because a lot of times when we have those bids, it's very hard to find out who may be out there and what questions and what issues they may have when they prepare the bid. And a lot of times we may not be on the same sheet of music. So this way, it really just gets everybody to the same room. They ask all the same questions and we respond to them at all the questions at once. And so it's much, much clearer in terms of what the city expects out of the solicitation. And also is very clear in terms of the questions that they may have. And so we share the same information to all the potential bidders. So that's the reason why
Oh, okay.
we did it mandatory. So the bids originally were going to be due I believe J January 15th. We have then postponed that to bids be due on February the 5th. And so that's the update. Just we're looking forward to obviously getting at least three bids or three proposals. And the way it's framed, there's two scenarios on how companies can submit a bid proposal. One is for scenario one would be is that anybody can come in, build a facility on their own land, their at their own facility, and provide their services to the city, with the caveat that that facility needs to be within 2 miles of the corporate limits of the city of Tucson. Preferably, if they can co-locate inside city limits, that will be great. But if they don't, if it's in the county, they would have to be just within 2 miles of the city corporate limits. Again, independently, they come in and build a facility, operate the facility. It could be an existing facility right now, or it could be a brand new facility. So that's scenario one, option one. Option two was for a third-party developer for them to come in, build and operate a facility at the Los Reales Sustainability Campus. So we identified a property. where essentially they would build, operate the facility, and they would run and operate the facility for the entirety of the agreement, which we're looking at about a 15-year agreement. But at the end of the 15-year agreement, the city, it's the owner of that recycling facility. The building, the infrastructure, the city maintains ownership of that facility, with the exception of the equipment. The equipment would most likely, the two op there's two options to deal with the equipment. One, we would enter into a purchase agreement to buy the equipment, or we just essentially provide a time for the processor really to remove the equipment, and then we, the city, just may keep that shell, that eventually somebody can come in and utilize that shell to redo another facility, or the city will do something else with that building. So those are the two options. That folks can explore. Somebody can a proposed proponent can bid on both, can bid on one, or they can bid on the two options and maybe provide a third alternative. But for sure, they have to submit a proposal for either option one or option two, and they can certainly provide their own proposal a little bit different as well. So again, we're looking forward to that. We've been getting a lot of questions lately, so we're trying to answer them the best we can, and try to see, and very hopeful that we at a minimum get three proposals for those services.
Excuse me, Carlos, what was the third
Excuse
option? I mean, not option, but the Republic Closed Loop Partners, and who else?
and balconies. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it's not,
Yeah,
sorry.
yeah.
Friedman Recycling. The Friedman Recycling is one of them.
Yeah.
Republic Services, and essentially Balconies, who is now has been bought out by Closed Loop Partners.
Can you spell that, Bell?
BALCONES,
Oh,
Balconies
okay.
Recycling. They own a lot of recycling facilities in Texas. They build, own, and operate those facilities. They have a facility, I believe, in the Dallas area. I believe, and I believe in for sure in San Antonio. They are the operator for the Phoenix recycling facilities, and so those are the other folks that we have heard that are very interested in really working in our area as well.
Yeah, I never heard of them before, so.
That's all their focus. They don't do any hauling. They don't have any landfills. All they do is really recycling, processing, and the sale of recycling commodities. That's all they do. So they're
Okay.
specialized in that field.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. I know you've been very busy, Carlos. So, and Pat kind of calmed me down. He called me and told me he's in now don't worry about all this stuff in January because there's a bunch of things going on. So, I grilled him about the illegal dumping things. So I probably have more questions on that, but I won't bug you about that now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you're tired of hearing me.
No. All right. So let's I guess you're all done, right, Carlos?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item four for the financial monthly report. And oh, there you are, Isaac.
Yes, I'm here.
Get my copies out.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, let me share my screen. And you're all seeing the reports that were shared with you. Awesome. Thank you. Holly, I'll do a brief introduction. Isaac Marcor, Finance Manager serving Mass Transit, General Services, and Environmental Services. You were at last meeting, but I'll be doing these financial reviews or updates rather. on a monthly basis, and in my absence, if ever that should happen, it would likely be my supervisor, who's Chris Gallagher. But that's a quick introduction. And then moving on to the report, what I will say is no news is good news. And what I mean by that is we're for most programs trending pretty close to what we had budgeted in way of expenditures, which is where we were at last time as well. In the view by program, I know there have been some questions about what is feeding the administration line and what those are. So the and I think we've touched on it, but I'd like to give more detail. And it's really two things. It's that what Environmental Services pays the Water Department for the use of the billing system at Navalime, and then the service agreement that again Environmental Services has with General Services for the work that's done. That's largely the fleet services on the refuse vehicles. So those are set amounts that we see each month. Sometimes the timing isn't quite there. We touched on that last month as well. But really, what we'll fall really close to, if not exactly, on about 1.2 times 12. Is that right? Yeah, that math should be close to correct. There are other occasional or oddities, if you will. But what I've seen post are just those are corrections. So that's the first line, clean and beautiful. We don't have anything right now, or for all practical intents and purposes, right? Compared to the 176,000, that will be a transaction that we post to our books at the end of the year. And then from there, I think we get pretty close to the half of the budgeted amount. Again, it's not always exactly there, but what we were instructed to do as a department from budget was to give a $500,000 limit of materiality before making any budget adjustments, or rather any budget revision requests. And so that's a high level of materiality, but what budget has asked and what budget is preparing when they go before mayor and council are these big things that will really move the needle, if you will. And again, we are really falling into line with where we would expect to be for these different programs. Another quick note is for Los Reales, we had, and this will be more prominent in the other view of the same information, but for Los Reales, we had some equipment purchases for heavy machinery there, along with the attachments to that machinery. And that's why we see the 6.4. We're not, and those attachments, by the way, which are like the claw and such on the equipment out there, they're very high ticket dollar amounts. And we don't expect to see them again, right? We paid for those. Actually, we don't expect to see them again for years, not just months, but years. So that's this view of the department by expenditures by area or by program. I don't know if there are any questions on this.
I got a question
Sure.
on the revision. When you revise it, is that like once a year you're able to do that and then you just match the forecast to the revision? I don't know
No,
how that works.
good question, Dick. So what happens is, for the most part, whenever we do a revision, and I'll I guess give you a more concrete example when on in the other view, because that capital versus CIP project is a good example.
I see.
But basically, when we do a revision as a department, what budget asks us is to do net zero revisions under special circumstances. If we have additional revenues or other extraordinary circumstances, we can do other sort of revisions. But really, what we're doing when we do those revisions is say, okay, well, we didn't really, we plan for X amount of dollars in administration, but we're not going to use all of those dollars there. So let's revise our budget and move whatever that delta might be to Los Reales, for example, right?
And
And
you're able to
so,
do that once a year, twice a year, or just whenever?
no, as needed. Again, the
Oh, okay.
level of materiality is 500,000, and unless, I mean, we don't necessarily avoid it, but we can do it throughout the year, and we have to meet that $500,000 threshold of
That's
materiality.
what
We're not doing it for the dollars.
I was just curious about how many times that happens. So when you do the revision, then that just the forecast matches up and it's pretty straightforward then.
Yes,
Here's
and you'll see here for this department we haven't done any revisions. I haven't submitted any revisions. For other departments I have, and that just depends on what the department needs. But you if you sorry, I don't have adopted here anymore, but it is the same budget. And that's why I don't have both of them on there, is because we'd just be looking at the same information twice.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions on the expenditures by area? Okay. So when we're looking at the revenues and the expenditures, we haven't done a budget revision yet, but central and budget may ask us to. And I'm going to jump to these two lines just to stay on topic, and then we can go back up to the top if we need to. Right now, what falls into capital outlay are these large pieces of equipment and our vehicles. And we have received but not paid for all of our vehicles. And I'm working with the Fleet Services Administrator, Tammy, to just confirm what those numbers are. But I want to give a warning to say that it is more than likely, or at least possible, that we will go over capital outlay in this fiscal year. I also want to call attention to prior fiscal year and just say that's not with what happened during COVID year or the COVID years and the backlog of getting heavy equipment and other capital outlay equipment because of supply chain issues. We kind of had no expenditures some years, and then we were trying to get caught up. And in getting caught up, you'll see that right now we're at basically $5.7 million. I'm looking here for current year capital outlay, with only 6.1 being budgeted and forecasted. I'll change that forecast as needed, and what will happen in the revised budget is the capital projects, the CIP dial, will be turned down. You see right now we're at $1.5 million for CIP, largely the Bifusion project. And that's this number right here. But if we go over budget, and the city does have at these what we call ledger account levels, capital sorry, expenditure or budget warnings and stops, we will have to do budget revisions, and what we'll do is submit a request to move some of that CIP or some of those CIP dollars into the capital outlay dollars. So that would be one of those examples where we would need to do that in order to keep pushing transactions through. There will be stops in the system for that sort of activity. All this to say, this 5 point each one of those vehicles is around 300,000 plus. So with a few more than a few still needing to be invoiced and paid for, this 5.7 almost is likely to increase significantly and go over that 6.1 in revised budget. Other than that, or let me stop there again and see if there are any questions, or does that kind of illustrate the point too?
Have you
Okay.
gotten all the vehicles?
It's my understanding that we have received all of the vehicles, and we just haven't invoiced for all of them. At least the vehicles that we're expecting to receive for this fiscal year.
Fiscal year. Okay, good.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and just recently in the last month, I know that we have a lot of new vehicles going out there, and then old vehicle the exercise we're going through is taking old vehicles to auction, et cetera, and deciding which, if any, are going to stay as backup vehicles. So we're moving in the right direction. We're getting to a good place. Our revenues are looking pretty good. We'll probably come in close, a little bit over where we were last year, which was 77.3. We're tracking right on that. Again, a slight increase there. I don't know if we need to go into any of those specifically, but again, no news is good news. And then true of expenditures too, with the biggest areas of saving or a delta between budgeted and actuals, projected out being vacancy savings, which isn't necessarily a good thing. That means our people are working harder and we have positions to fill, which Carlos and team I know are always and HR are always working very hard to take care of. And then the other one being that CIP bucket where these longer term or middle term projects sometimes get delayed for, or not sometimes, very frequently get delayed for X, Y, or Z reasons. And so we budgeted 8.1 for all the different projects, and we're at 1.5 yesterday. So I don't know what other questions or if there are any questions on that.
Anyone? Okay.
I'll make one more quick note for astute eyes. I think this number last month was at 7.4. That just had to do with the report when I pulled it. FY25 revised and actual shouldn't be moving at all anymore. That was because when I pulled the pivots and the reports that feed this final report, it didn't catch everything. There were a few lines at the bottom that I didn't quite catch it last time in time for the meeting, but that has been corrected now. These are our numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Let's move on to item five. Let's see. What was the last meeting? Do we have a waste diversion collections and education meeting?
It was supposed to be yesterday, but it got canceled.
No, but the last one. Did you get a chance?
Oh, yeah, we updated on that one during the December meeting.
Okay, good. So we're all caught up. All right. Just checking. All right. So here we are to item six for future agenda items. If you remember from last year, elections are coming up. And if you're interested in taking over my job, that's fine with me. So if it's something that you would like to try out, speak up. And then we're back to the annual report. So that's coming up. We need to get it in by March 15th. We were late last time because I was going back and forth with the city manager with whether or not I could still stay on. So I did. I'm still here. Trevor, you did a great job with your section on waste diversion, collections, and education.
I'm happy to do that again if
Huh?
nobody else wants. I'm happy to do that section again if nobody else wants to volunteer.
Okay. And then, of course, we had our finally had a finance meeting. So Hopefully Margo will help me out with that. And since we no longer have code enforcement, hopefully it'll be a shorter report. So, but you know, I'd like to get feedback from the whole group. And so that's that. Okay. No questions, right?
Any other agenda item requests for next month?
Yes. Anyone?
I was actually wondering how our new recycling, neighborhood recycling center is doing at UDOL and how those are functioning in general. I know I've been down there a couple times since we moved it for Ward 6. Just wondering how that's going and how the other ones are going. I know that our MRF numbers are really good with recycling contamination lately. And so just kind of wondering about an update on that for next month would be awesome.
Okay, I'll
Great.
add that on.
Okay. And anything else? We have no call to audience. And so it looks like we're going to get out of here a little early. And we'll adjourn at 4:53. Thank you, everybody, for showing up.
Thank you.
Thank
We
you.
need
Thank you,
you.
Chris. Bye
Thank
now.
you. Thank you. Good
everyone.
night. Take care.
And thank
Bye-bye.
you,
Thank
Carlos.
you. Thank
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy
Happy New
New
Year.
Year.
Thank you.
We made it. Okay. Thanks.